Radio Reverb, Brighton Festival 2018. Now, all of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2018 on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Alita Dennett. This is Monday's Brighton Festival special. We're here Monday to Friday during the festival, 5 to 6pm, repeat at 10pm and 9am the next day.
And I'm Jack Claraman. For the next 2 weeks, we'll be looking behind the scenes at the Brighton Festival, meeting some of the performers, creators and people who make it happen. Today we are hearing about a dance piece which explores themes of migration and displacement.
Having a conversation with a talking seesaw like you do.
We're gazing up at the clouds.
Visiting a bandstand, celebrating a sense of togetherness.
Finding out about a dance piece accompanied by an Indonesian heavy metal band.
Along with reviews and previews in the next hour here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. And we are into week two of the festival, peeping behind the scenes. We both had a busy weekend, haven't we, Jack, out and about?
Absolutely. I got to see a really great couple of things over the weekend. In the wet and the rain and a bit of sun on the Sunday. So yeah, had a good one. It seems the festival is in full swing now. Everyone in Brighton is smiling and happy and getting involved.
And I hope the rain didn't dampen people's spirits too much.
Absolutely not.
Good, 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 good. I think I was luckier than you because the things I went to see were all in the sun. Hurrah! Anyway, we are with you, peeping behind the scenes, meeting some of the people who make the festival tick. And we're going out and we're meeting audience members as well. So who knows what's going to happen in the next hour. But first of all, a dance piece which explores themes of migration and displacement is on at the Theatre Royal. It's one night only in the festival. Kaya, by Turkish choreographer Jada Tank, has an all-female ensemble, including local teenage dancers, and it's got a soundtrack of Turkish music, including live drumming. I went to meet Jada and one of her dancers at a break in rehearsals.
My name's Jada Tank and my show is Kaya.
The starting point for this is a ghost village in Turkey. Tell me more.
So Kaya is the name of a village in Turkey that I spent a lot of time growing up as a child. Basically, the village was originally inhabited by a Greek community, and in the 1920s, they were forcibly removed from Greece. And it was the start of a huge Turkish and Greek population exchange. My dad did a lot of his PhD research there, so at the age of about seven, I went out with him. We all moved there for a year and a half while he did his research. So I was very much a part of that process of going to interviews with him. We travelled to Greece to meet some of the people that had left the village. And so, yeah, it's always been something I've been really connected with. We go back every year, and I wanted to kind of create a work based on that. But then when we started researching, obviously, it became apparent that I really needed to obviously address it and make it more of a current issue as well, because almost 100 years on, we're seeing the exact same thing with the current refugee crisis, and not a lot has changed. So we're kind of bringing that in and making it more kind of generally about displacement and, yeah, human experiences of displacement.
And I guess Turkey as well being one of those places that straddles both Europe and Asia, and Kaya is very much on the Asian side. It's the other side of the Black Sea, yeah, from the European side. Are you making a kind of parallel between Asia and Europe and and borders there?
I guess in some ways with the dance we always are, because all my pieces have this kind of, I guess, European contemporary dance, because that's what I'm trained in, but then with the influence of traditional Turkish folk dance. And Turkish folk dance, like any folk dance, it does cross a lot of borders, and there are a lot of similarities to other folk dances, especially Middle Eastern folk dances. So it kind of has that East versus West feel, I guess.
I'm Fove Penketh, and I'm in Jada's piece, Kaya. I've been with Jada Youth Company for 4 years now, and we do our own performances, and we kind of shadow the professional company. And Jada had this piece planned, and she wanted a few younger people involved. So we said, yeah, we got involved with it.
And what have you learned and what have you gained through being part of this?
Masses. I think I've never really danced about the sense of displacement before. It's hard because you're kind of challenging this, you know, harder aspect of it, but also the resilience and the strength that comes with that. And I think that was really key for Jada in this work, showing the resilience of the people that are constantly having to move from place to place. Just kind of challenging that more really hard aspect of it and balancing it with a more positive and resilient side too.
You're also looking at gender and gender stereotyping within this.
It's not necessarily within this piece, that's just my work as a whole. So I always use female dancers. And we always use the traditionally male roles within the Turkish dance and put it on the female contemporary body. So it's kind of challenging those traditional stereotypes. But yeah, that's something I do with all my works. But obviously it's in this work as well.
And you're going to be performing at the Theatre Royal in the Brighton Festival. That's a bit exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so exciting. I think, especially such a big venue as well, it's such a big change for us. It's so nice. We're often in youth shows, so this is kind of a real platform for us to showcase what we do with Jada, which is so good.
And where are you hoping to take your work from here?
Oh, good question. I think my movement's always been really influenced by Jada. So I think this whole Turkish influence is really interesting. I think that's part of the way I move now, so I don't think that's going anywhere.
A lot of people find dance tricky because they feel uncomfortable about, maybe they don't get the narrative and they tend to shy away from it. What would you say to somebody about that? Because narrative is a strong part of your work.
Well, yeah, I think I do always try and make the work as accessible as possible. I want anyone from any walk of life to come and enjoy it. I don't want it to be aimed at dance audiences or contemporary dance fans. I want it to be for anyone and everyone. And that's partly why we have the community aspect, using extra dance as well from the community. But I think as well with my work, although there's a narrative and we use a narrative, when it comes to the programme notes, I like to keep it really simple. It's often one or two sentences, because I think it's important that the audience can have a bit of ownership over the theme and the narrative. And someone might come and see a completely different theme to what we set out, but that really doesn't matter. It's each to their own, and everyone should come and hopefully take something different, and everyone leave with a different experience.
That's Jada Tank talking about Kaya, and it's on tonight, one night only, Monday, if you're listening to the live show. It's on at the Theatre Royal at 8 o'clock, and when I looked this afternoon, there were just a handful of tickets left, so if you want to get onto that, jump onto the Brighton Festival website pronto, that's brightonfestival.org. There may well be returns on the night if you pop down to the Theatre Royal at about 7:30, something like that. You listen to the Brighton Festival special show with Jack Claremont and Melita Dennett, and this is the weekend when Brighton goes absolutely wild. I mean, it's bad enough during the rest of the festival, and the Fringe, it's rammed enough as it is, but Brighton gets packed to the gills. The Great Escape is on. Jack, this is going to be your first Great Escape.
Yeah, my inaugural Great Escape. I'm very, very excited. I've heard all the best things about this festival. It's kind of a pilgrimage that you must make as a music fan, I guess, within England. It's kind of up there with Glastonbury and maybe Reading if you're a younger person. But it's one of those places that seems to be that hub of new music, and it mirrors the idea of like South by Southwest, another of those sprawling across the city, absolutely taking over. I'm really excited. There's loads of great bands this year. A couple of favourites of mine of the London jazz scene that are coming down. Yeah. So bands like Sons of Kemet and Joe Armand Jones. Yeah, really excited. But then also excited to see where it goes and what I find new. I mean, how many? Over 400 or something acts, I think, across the weekend. It's just mind-blowing.
But do make sure you check out some of the local acts, because
there
are absolutely brilliant local acts playing.
So, yeah, it's Brighton is such an amazing hotspot, and
I
the
know.
Local area for you are the pro for this, right?
I know,
I'll be getting the hot tips off of you, Melita.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. Yeah, see what you think of this. So I thought over the course of the week, play some of the acts that are local, who are going to be appearing in The Great Escape and in The Alternative Escape as well. So our first one for today from Brighton, this is Fur. They are playing at the Beach Club 5:30 this coming Saturday. In The Great Escape, Fur, and the track's called Trying. An unashamed nod and wink towards the Strokes there from Brighton. That's Fur, and the track's called Trying, and they're going to be playing the Beach Club at 5:30 this coming Saturday in The Great Escape. And they're going to be playing more tracks from Brighton and the local area playing at The Great Escape this weekend, just to whet your appetite for that as well. You're listening to the Brighton Festival programme on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. We're live 5 till 6 every weekday, Monday to Friday, during the festival, then repeated 10 o'clock the same night, 9 a.m. the next day.
Now, I went to see something brilliant this weekend. Artist Morag Myerskov, she's brought the theme of togetherness to this year's festival with her Belonging Bandstand. This is a touring structure showcasing local artists and musicians. It's bedecked with these amazingly joyous placards created by local communities. And the bandstand brings together a belief in the strength of creativity, togetherness, love and social justice. The project has been influenced by the pop art of Carita Kent from the 1960s onwards, and she has an exhibition on display. Well, the Ditchling Museum of Art and Craft have got an exhibition on showcasing her work, which is running all throughout the summer. So I popped down to a wet and windy West Pier at the weekend, and when I say wet and windy, I really do mean wet and windy.
Oh,
if you can remember Saturday's weather, it was quite horrid. However, I went to go and see the piece before it tours all around Sussex. And I spoke to Morag herself. I first asked her what it was about the structure of a bandstand in particular that inspired the piece.
Because a bandstand is for everybody. It's free, you come across it, it can be empty and you just stand on it. You know, I really love, from seasides, I mean, you know, we're next to West Pier and I mean, that was so beautiful, Victorian structures and which had performances on it and things, didn't it? And, you know, there's just that joy of bandstand. And I think, is it the film Top Hat? Anyway, there's a Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers film.
Great.
That I absolutely adore, and they dance. She's dressed in... Anyway, they dance on this bandstand that is just amazing. And I'd seen that film when I was really little. So it's been a lifelong ambition, really. I think from... Because everywhere you go, if you go to a seaside, you go to a park, you go somewhere, and then it's impromptu. Yeah. You don't have to pay. Somebody could, you know, go on it and do a performance. So, and so the idea of it is to make a piece of architecture that that is for everybody to use for free.
Amazing.
And for them to own it. Yeah. And it's about them owning it. So when this moves to each of the groups, their placards will come to the front. This is a mixed placard, but their particular group, like Hangleton, all their placards will come to the front, and then they do their performance. If they want to hang things off it, they want to do things to it, you know. So what is there is their bandstand. It's not my bandstand. It's their bandstand. I want the communities to own it for the period of time that they have it. So particularly when the workshop we did in New Haven, now they've organised their own belonging festival and they're doing events and everything. And, you know, if they want to decorate it or change it or, you know, do things around it or add to it, you know, fantastic. And I'm excited to go to each of the different venues and take photographs to see. I don't want people to feel worried that that I'm going to be precious, because I'm not going to be precious, because that's not the ethos. That's not what the project was about. It was about making a piece of work that belonged to everybody else, like the people playing on stage. I want it for the moment they're on stage, it's their stage.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to look going, you know, oh, I don't like that speaker there or anything. I mean, I'm not sure if I like that bucket there, but anyway, there's a bucket. That's a bit of a problem. And a plastic bag hanging off the frame. Yeah. That's okay. No. but you know, people propagate, you know, they built something in the middle of it, whatever, good, fantastic.
Yeah. The Belonging Bandstand draws a lot of inspiration from Carita Kent, the pop art nun, a pioneering artist from LA. I asked Morag about how this connection was made.
I met up with Ditchling and they mentioned they were thinking of Carita Kent exhibition, and it was a couple of years ago now. And I was like, oh, I love Carita Kent, she's really brilliant. And and they were saying, well, what are you interested in? And I said, well, I'm really obsessed with belonging and I love bandstands. And they were like, oh, this sounds quite interesting. So then it developed from there that it was, I think it was just really less, it's not so much being influenced by her visual work, because my work is what my work is. It was more about her activism, her social conscience, you know, is that side of things. It's about thinking rather than visual.
Alongside the bandstand, there is a belonging exhibition open at the Ditchling Museum of Art and Craft, showcasing work from Morag as well as artist Luke Morgan. I spoke to Museum Director Steph Fuller to find out more.
Okay, so they've got a piece there called the Sign Machine, which is like a fantastic swing seat. You can actually sit on it and swing, and it's got lots of different signs. You can twiddle them around to reflect your mood. And then they've also both made work that's displayed in our Wunderkammer that's about what they feel about belonging. So, and there's two quite different sets of work. So Luke's made work that a lot of it is about kind of punk and rockabilly, and Morag's stuff is more about family. It's a really fantastic exhibition and it complements the Carita Kent work really well.
I also asked Steph about how important art is to the Brighton Festival.
I mean, I think the festival is just a fantastic thing every year, and it really gives a chance to sort of for lots of people to express themselves in lots of different ways, and for people who come here and people who live here to have a lot of fun, see lots of different things that make you think, things that make you reflect about yourself. And I think it's a massive and fantastic thing to have in the city every year.
Brilliant. And how long can people go and see the Caruta Kent exhibition at Ditchling?
So Caruta Kent is actually on until October, so you've got the whole summer. And the Belonging Bandstand is in Brighton. It's on the seafront this weekend. Yeah. And then it's on two other locations the next two weekends. And then if you look on our website, the museum website, you can see where it's touring around Sussex. So you can see it in Hastings, Crawley, Newhaven, Arding, Lye. I'm sure I've forgotten some places. But it's out and about over the summer.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Deb.
You're welcome. Great.
Excellent.
The Belonging Bandstand, as Steph Fuller there said, is doing a rather glamorous tour of Sussex. So you can check it out if you are not going to make it down to Brighton for the next couple of weekends, but it is at the different Your Place venues for the next two weekends. And then at Ditchling, you've got the different exhibitions to go and check out too. So a really, really nice piece for Brighton Festival, I thought. And being down there, despite the weather, the horrible wind and the rain, it was so colourful, so bright. And there was various different bands on throughout the day. That it was just a really joyous atmosphere, and actually people kind of broke through, and this idea of the bandstand, I really took on board what Morag was saying there about the idea of belonging and togetherness, and yeah. how it can reflect a community, and that anyone is there to take it on. And I thought back to sort of childhood places and them being bandstands, and they're quite mythical almost when you see them there in a park, and
sure,
you can just go and sit up there and think about what kind of things had gone on. Yeah, really nice piece.
I passed by it actually because I was heading over to interview Cloudscapes, which is later on in the programme, and I passed by on Sunday morning as they were setting up. It was dry and it was sunny. So I thought that was obviously a bonus, but I thought it looked really lovely and colourful with all the different banners on the front with kind of slogans on. And
absolutely, and as Morag was saying, those slogans have all been come up with different communities that they've been with at care homes and with schools, and so it's kind of what does belonging mean to them? So there's the different things that get reflected through those placards. All comes back to this work of Caruta Kent as well, which is a really fascinating story. If people don't know that story, definitely worth checking out too. So yeah, a really, really nice piece. And it was great after a week of kind of seeing a lot of musical stuff. It was great to go and see that at the weekend.
Nice.
To see a bit of visual, stunning art.
And of course, free and continues for the next couple of weekends as well. You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Festival special. And on tomorrow's show, Mark Johnson from Slipstream is going to be previewing Nakano's appearance. That's at St George's Church this coming Saturday afternoon. As a little taster of that, here is a track by Nakano. This is Violent Measures. That's music that sends a shiver down the spine. That's Nakano, a South African performer. The track is called Violent Measures. And on tomorrow's show, Mark Johnson from Slipstream is going to be previewing Nakano's appearance at St George's Church this coming Saturday at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Remember, this is Monday's Brighton Festival special show here on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. We're here all throughout the week, Monday to Friday, during the festival, 5 till 6 p.m, repeated at 10 p.m. and 9 a.m. the next day.
See, Jack, you were unlucky. You went out in the rain.
Yeah, it was not the best time, but you know, nice to see the things anyway. You've got to do it, right? This is the British spring, summer, who knows what it is right
it's
now.
It's a festival tradition.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I was very lucky because I went out in the sun, and Cloudscape is a chilled out opportunity in the Brighton Festival to lie back, look up at the sky and think about clouds. It's created by Lorna Rees and Heidi Stella, and it involves storytelling and facts about clouds while the audience relaxes on beanbags in a park and gazes skywards. I went to Dorset Gardens to see what was going on and have a chat with one of Cloudscape's creators. I'm lying on a beanbag in a park in Brighton, gazing up at the sky. There's mottled cloud cover, blue sky peeping through, and I'm here for a piece called Cloudscapes. Lying down, relaxing, feeling very chilled, having a story read to me.
Hi, my name is Lorna Rees. I am Artistic Director of Gobbledygook Theatre, and the piece we brought this year to Brighton is Cloudscapes.
What was the inspiration?
Oh, the clouds themselves are very inspiring, and my collaborator and I, Heidi, have been thinking about making something about clouds for probably 6 years. It's a really long time, long gestation period, because we're both fascinated with the outdoors. We make work for landscape and in landscape, and the clouds are, they're not so pin-downable as a hill or an amazing coastline, but they are always above us, so we can be anywhere with this work and you're still getting to see clouds as long as you're outdoors.
And tell me about the story that you were reading out to everyone as everyone was laying down, relaxing, gazing at the sky, or maybe dozing a little bit.
The piece is made up of three main components. I talk about the science of cloud formations and what we're looking at right now. I talk about a story with my dad. We drove across America. We did the Route 66 together for his 66th birthday. So we had an amazing time just driving across America, cloud spotting. And the third spine, although I don't mention the words climate change in the piece, it is about our changing planet and how there are more rain clouds and there are more extreme weather events. And the piece isn't a telling people about that, because everyone knows that's happening, but it's about accepting change and thinking about how our lives change and maybe feeling a bit of grief for that, but then move on, we do the next thing.
It was lovely. It was a very different experience to what I was expecting. I had no idea what to expect, but it was very, very relaxing and eye-opening.
Do you think you'll look at clouds in a different way now?
I will, definitely, yes. And from when we started, when there really wasn't much to see, they changed so beautifully for us.
Oh, we thought it was charming, didn't we? We thought it was really sweet. She spoke really, really beautifully. I was totally engaged with it. And my friend Margaret was saying, did you fall asleep? But I didn't. It was really restful. And we're just gazing at the sky, which you don't find a lot of time to do nowadays. And I loved the story. I thought it was really sweet and made me want to go to America and do exactly the same. So, that's the testimony to it. I thought it was brilliant.
It was wonderful, actually, because the clouds really changed as you were laying down. It was quite thick to start with, and you were thinking, I'm not sure this is going to happen, really. But actually, amazingly, you were making shapes and thoughts, and it was tremendous, yeah.
We've had a very good sky show today. We call the show a duologue for performer and clouds, because we think of it very much that the clouds are as big a performer, if not more, than I am in this piece. So we've seen today stratocumulus, altocumulus, altostratus. So we've had a really lovely cloud show, this first show today. But they're constantly changing. The average life cycle of a cloud is 10 minutes. So what audiences get to notice is that amazing variability in our clouds. And we're very lucky today to have had such a lovely set of them.
It was just one of those really lovely, chilled out kind of performances. Just lying there relaxing, looking at the sky. You know, to be honest, we probably don't do enough gazing up at the sky. So if you want to do that, it's taking place on Tuesday. Last two shows, Tuesday 1 p.m, 3 p.m. in Dorset Gardens in Kemp Town. It's a fiver. That was Lorna Rees from Gobbledygook Theatre. She's the co-creator of Cloudscapes. So do go and see that. It's just one of those really lovely, sweet sort of pieces. I have to say, though, I do have a slight complaint about all the people who let their dogs run around in the gardens, pooing everywhere. I couldn't believe it. So if you go along, you maybe want to take a pooper scooper with you. You listen to Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, Brighton Festival Show.
Brighton Festival 2018. All of the news, reviews and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2018. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
OK, well, let's take a look forward to the Great Escape coming up this weekend. Here's another performer, not quite from Brighton. She's from Horsham. I'll let her in under the wire. Her name is Mana and the track is Crossfire. Ooh, nice. That's Mana. She's from Horsham, but we can forgive her for that. She's just released her single called Craving and is working on a lot of collaborations to be released over the course of the summer. And Mana is playing the Alternative Escape on Saturday. She's going to be at the Mucky Duck Pub. And if you want to find her on the social, she is at Not Mana. Still to come on the programme, I'm going to be finding out what happened when you go out to Stanmer Woods on the weekend and lie down in all the leaves. Also going to be hearing about a dance piece with live Indonesian music backing. You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Festival special with Melita Dennett and Jack Claremont.
Rebecca Sandals has been along to interview a seesaw for us. The seesaw in question is one of three semi-intelligent talking seesaws. I think I met a few of those on Friday night, actually. down on the seafront by i360. Together, the trio are Pivot, and they're the creation of artists Madeline Flynn and Tim Humphrey. Rebecca waited for the chattering to die down, then popped onto a seesaw to see if she could grab an exclusive interview for Radio Reverb's festival show with a piece of playground equipment.
I'm sitting on a seesaw on the seafront by the O360, and someone is having a conversation with the seesaw next to me. I'm going to try and have a conversation with this seesaw. Hello, seesaw.
Okay, then. Howdy, partner. What's your name then? Speak nice and slowly.
My name is Rebecca. Hello, my name is Rebecca. Hello, my name is Rebecca.
Well, well, Rebecca, nice to meet you here at last. Do you know my name?
No, tell me your name.
From what everybody has been saying, my name might as well be Poo Poo.
Poo Poo? You're telling me your name is Poo Poo?
Well, maybe a bit strange, but a great name anyway. Hooray for monikers.
So what are you doing here, Poo Poo? What are you doing here? It's not the easiest interview I've ever done this. Hang on. Hello, what are you doing here, Seesaw?
I'm waiting for my cue to sing.
Oh, you are going to sing for me.
What? I just don't know what you're talking about. Please explain.
I just don't know what to do with myself. Try that one.
Hey there. Do you think that I am an echo chamber, repeating some programmed and possibly fake information that is endlessly available to me?
Possibly, yes. Are you fake? Hello? Are you fake news? You've gone very quiet. Hello? So it's a difficult interview, this. Sometimes the subject is chatting with me, and other times she's gone quiet.
Well then, Take it easy. A few steps at a time. Be a tortoise, not a hare. And please negotiate with your partner when you want to hop off. Above all, talk to me.
Relaxing is something.
Okay, I should have someone on here with me. There's just me. I'm well, thank you for your time. Goodbye.
Oh yes. See you. Take it easy.
Bye. Well,
howdy, partner.
Not sure that was my most successful interview, but it was worth a shot.
Well, that's the thing with Seesaw, Rebecca. It is a bit up and down, am I right?
Oh, boom boom.
Yeah, Rebecca Sandals there discovering seesaws can have a mind of their own. Obviously, it does help to remember that there is normally two of you on a seesaw.
Yeah.
Rebecca did clearly fail to learn that one as a youngster. But if you fancy getting some philosophical tips from a piece of playground equipment, then do head down to the beach near the I-360. Melita, you went down there?
I did. I went down yesterday afternoon. I thought I'd go early before the children arrived. And I had a similar sort of experience, really, because I wanted to, well, kind of, you know, ask a few questions about how much they like being in Brighton and what kind of things they were doing and that sort of thing. And really, all she wanted to do was ask me the meaning of life. So I didn't really have much of a clue about what the meaning of life is. So, I found her a little bit philosophical and then a bit sarcastic. Wow. If I didn't say what she wanted me to say, she was really sarcastic.
Existential seesaws,
yes.
There. Head down to the I-360, Wednesdays to Fridays, 2 till 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday, 11 till 5 p.m.
And it's free as well, so there you go. This is Radio Riva, Brighton Festival special. This sounds like an amazing piece. A Tractor is a dance piece. It combines high-energy performance with live musical accompaniment from Indonesian experimental group Senyawa. It's on at the Dome on Tuesday and Wednesday, and it promises a phenomenal night of sound and vision. I went to Pavilion Gardens earlier to sit down with Australian choreographer Lucy Gurin to hear more. A Tractor looks like a very high-octane piece. It looks like you demand 120% from all your performers.
Yes, it does have quite a high-energy output for the dancers, which is really driven a lot by the music, I think, because the music from Senyawa is so intense and so much energy that it, in parts it really, really has to match that.
Ah. quite a lot of the work you do is collaborative, and your audio informs the dance and experimentation informs the dance. So which one came first? So were you matching it to the music, or was the music created specially for what you've done, or was it a mixture of the two?
Yeah, it was a really interesting and hugely rewarding process, actually. So Senyawa came out and we did a week of research together with a few of the dancers. And so we spent a lot of time improvising together and just talking about what we were interested in. We did a lot of following each other, so the musicians would play and the dancers would respond to the music through improvised structures, and also the musicians would follow the dancers. So it was a lot of playing initially, just to get to know each other, because we'd only met very briefly previous to that.
And the music is played live during the performance as well?
Yes, the music's played live, and it really is phenomenal. It's like this mix of operatic, kind of heavy metal, also traditional Indonesian, Javanese sounds. Wukia makes his own instruments out of bamboo and other materials, and Ruli also just has this vocal range that's just unbelievable.
It seems to me a lot of Australian dance and performance has very much its own character outside of European traditions, almost like it's grown up on its own with Australian culture, rather than having a nod and a look towards what's been happening in Europe over the last few centuries.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we are very far away, so we don't get to see as much of what's going on in Europe. You know, we have some connections to European dance culture, but also to the US. So I know for myself and my own training, I spent some time in New York, and I've also spent, you know, time travelling in Europe. But I think, yeah, over time, our identity is becoming more particular to Australia.
What do you think an audience will take away from this?
It's a work for the audience to experience beyond just sitting back in the dark. So it's a really sort of visceral work. So it's very textural and kind of rhythmic. And I think that the audience will be almost physically affected by it. And in fact, the audience plays a large part in the show towards the end, when there's volunteers that have been selected prior to the performance. They join the dancers on stage. So that's sort of a literal representation of this idea that we really wanted the audience to feel the work and to come to the work rather than just sitting back. I'm really, really proud of this work, and I think that it's been a fantastic collaboration. Like, it's really produced something beyond the sum of its parts. So I'm really excited about it, and hoping that Brighton will come and see it.
That sounds absolutely amazing. So that's choreographer Lucy Gurin talking about Attractor at the Dome. It's two nights only. I reckon it's going to be a hot, sizzling festival ticket. It's on Tuesday and Wednesday with live accompaniment from Indonesian duo Senyawa. Lots of really good stuff coming up this week in the festival, Jack.
Yeah, there's one thing that I'm looking up for and really looking forward to, and that's Zaloris White, who are coming up later on. They're playing at the St. George's Church, which I went to last week to see John's sermon. So such an exciting space to go and see some live music, and they're Bella Union stableheads as well, and yeah. Bella Union, obviously Cocteau Twins formed, and a brilliant record label that everybody should get behind. So yeah, very exciting one. But there's all sorts of things going on. There's yeah, just a myriad of stuff.
I've actually seen them a couple of times, and they are really, really brilliant. First time I saw them was at the Hope and Ruin. So if you can imagine seeing them there. They're now in St. George's Church playing to, you know, a few hundred people, and then at Hope and Ruin playing to maybe, you know, I don't know, 80 or something like that. And I saw them last year again, I think it's at Liverpool Psych Festival. So really, really atmospheric, and that real kind of mixture of Eastern and Western influences
right,
together.
Right, so they've got the Australian drummer, and then Zaloris is a Greek singer. Right.
Yeah,
so that's it's I've never seen them live. I've heard them on record, and they're just absolutely fantastic. Kind of mix of post rock and punk and kind of free jazz.
Yeah,
it's kind of avant-garde.
Really exciting live act. So that's this Thursday at St. George's Church. And we had Victoria Melody on the programme on Friday talking about her piece Ugly Chief, which she did with her dad. So her dad had a diagnosis of basically a death sentence. He thought he was going to die, and they arranged his funeral, and then he discovered, actually, no, he's not going to die. Well, he is at some point, but not imminently. So Victoria Melody has created this show about creating her dad's funeral and her dad is in it. He sounds like a right cantankerous so-and-so. Brilliant. It sounds like nobody's ever going to know where this show's going to go. But you'll catch up with Victoria's interview on our Radio Reverb podcast. And she's on Tuesday, tomorrow, at the Old Market at 8 o'clock. It is sold out, but as I always say, try and get some returns. And if you're lurking near the Old Market tonight, Monday, Ursula Martinez, who's a remarkable performer. Many people will have seen her in the Brighton Festival in various states of undress in previous years. She is rather partial to getting her kit off. And she's got a show called Free Admission tonight, which is at the Old Market at 8 o'clock. And I think she's always worth a look because you never quite know what she's going to get up to. Last Poets playing Tuesday at the Theatre Royal in Brighton. The Godfathers, I guess you could say, of hip-hop. A really, really groundbreaking, combo, those. Made so they're still alive. A tractor we just heard about. And coming up at The Spire, we had a chat with David from The Spire last week about Exformer. They didn't know if it's Exformer or Transformer. We're going to run with Exformer. That runs from Wednesday through to Sunday. And it's a mixture of electronics, audio, visuals, all kinds of rather amazing sounding things, that one.
And that's over at The Spire, which is like kind of getting more people over out towards the Sticks in Kemptown. Yeah. But it sounds like a really brilliant venue that I would recommend people to go and listen back to the podcast there when those guys were on, because it is super. It sounds amazing. I've never been to The Spire.
Oh, it's great. It's good. You've got to go. You've got to go.
Need to go check that place out.
And Fauna, or maybe it's Fauna because they're Swedish, coming to the Theatre Royal from Wednesday through to Saturday. And that's going to be acrobatic, circus and dance. And they're going to be on the programme tomorrow, all things being well. So lots and lots of stuff coming out. So brightonfestival.org or check on Brightfest Twitter for the latest news. And if you think something's sold out, quite often there are returns because people do buy their tickets reasonably early on and then things change. One more track, I think. Maybe we can squeeze in two from The Great Escape. One of my favourite Brighton artists. This is Laloon and the track is You Keep Me Sane. I love her work so much. From Brighton, that is Laloon. And the track is You Keep Me Sane. She's going to be playing Saturday lunchtime at the North Lane Pub in the Alternative Escape. You're listening to Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Festival special. And our reviewer, Helen Gagner-Brown, has been to see Woodland at Stanmer Park at the weekend. Helen, welcome to Radio Reverb.
Hello. Thank you.
I know nothing about this other than I've looked at the blurb in the festival programme. And it sounds like you lie down in the middle of Stanmer Park, get covered in leaves, and then you listen to something, but clearly there's much more to it than that.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it in terms of the physicality of it.
Right.
But yeah, basically you arrive at Stanmer Park and they give you an audio headset and you walk into the woods. You kind of follow some little markers that take you to a listening area. So there's a GPS on this phone as well. Pure, you know, health and safety ready. If you get lost, you've got a number to call, everything. But yeah, you get to a little section of the park that then triggers you to allow to listen to this 20-minute piece, and they encourage you to lie down on your back and basically stare up and look at a bit of shrubbery, foliage, put on your headset, and then listen to a 20-minute narration, basically, of the process of how your body's going to decay after you die.
Oh, so cheerful stuff then.
Oh, it's, very cheerful. I mean, I guess it was quite good in that there wasn't any emotional undertone because it was pure description. So, you know, there's nothing, you don't feel sad, you don't feel anything in a sense because it's purely scientific, you know, it's very ecological, very anthropological. Mm-hmm. And she's basically, it's in second person narrative. She's saying your body's, you know, the blood will run away from your body. Your body temperature will drop, maggots will start to form on your face, and it's very quite a visceral experience. But there's never at any point do you feel disgusted by it, though. It's just a bit, you almost have this kind of detachment from it because, you know, it's kind of not you anymore, you're dead.
So did it actually make you contemplate that kind of aspect of death?
A little bit. It's kind of, it was interesting because, it's basically, you know, you'll never experience this because you'll be dead. It's kind of paradoxical in that sense. So you'll always just, so you already have this detachment from it. And it does make you think about, that's kind of a strange way to, you know, to think about your body and how it's going to go back into back into the earth, basically.
And when you were doing this, were you on your own, or were there other people around you, like lying down in the leaves?
Yeah, there's a few other people around you, and it's quite a strange sight. I did take a picture because when I got up, I looked behind me, and there were just people lying on their backs, staring upwards, pretty much looking dead.
Okay.
And yeah, it was really interesting.
And what time of day did you do it? Because I'd imagine the time of day you do it probably makes a difference if you're doing it in... Well, you were doing it in the rain probably, weren't you, on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday, right. 12 noon. Just started to rain, so I did start to get a bit of drops on my face. But yeah, no, it was... I've never had anything like that, I've got to say.
And did you think it was value for money in terms of... you know, it's obviously an experience. You're paying for the experience, but you know, as a festival event, was it a big event for you?
I think so. It's the kind of thing that you don't really was it. It's the kind of event that you don't even think about.
Yeah.
There would be something like that. You know, a lot of the time you would be kind of in the moment. You know, it's about things, about people being alive and that kind of thing. And this is like a weird thing where it's, you know, you're dead. You know, imagine yourself being dead.
And do they give you anything to take away with you to kind of continue the thought process or the journey, or is it just kind of like, right, you've done that, off you go?
Well, after your 20 minutes, because you've got this kind of smartphone with you which has the 24 minutes listing on it, and you do actually, you can record a bit of feedback, your immediate response to how you felt about the whole piece. So they kind of get your kind of your kind of unfiltered existential angst afterwards, basically.
Okay. sounds very interesting. Jack, did you want to come in there?
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, that kind of, at the end of it all, and when you were walking back, was that journey back? Because I assume you took the same kind of route back that you took in. And were there different thoughts? How did it kind of, the reflection of that piece in your kind of immediate effects, how did that feel?
Yeah, it does make you just think about what, because it was funny, when I was walking there, I heard people... their conversations walking back after the experience.
Of course, yeah.
And there was these two women talking to each other, being like, you know, I think I'll donate all my money to RSPCA. And I just thought, wow, is that what's going to happen afterwards? but yeah, it does make you kind of just, you know, it makes kind of the little worries in your life a little less worrying, because you think, well, we're all going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Helen Gagne-Brown has been to see Woodland at Stanmer Park, one weekend only in the Brighton Festival. So I think, what are you going to give that? 4 out of 5, do you reckon?
I'm not putting
stars into your mouth,
stars,
as it were.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reba. Glad you enjoyed it.
Thanks, I did.
You're going to die anyway. Always the best way to finish a review, yeah. I think. Always the best.
And the programme.
So that does bring us, it wraps us up neatly. Hopefully we will see you tomorrow. But you have been listening to the Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and Jack Claremont on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM DAB and online. We are here Monday to Friday, 5 to 6pm during the festival, repeated 10pm and 9am the next day.
And thanks very much to today's guests, Helen Gagne-Brown, Jada Tank, the Belonging Team, the Talking Seesaw, Lorna Rees, Lucy Gurin, and our reporter Rebecca Sandals. Going to play you out with Lewis's Noble Jacks. They're playing at the Great Escape on Jubilee Square this Thursday at 4pm. The track's called Enjoy the Ride. Hope you've enjoyed the ride. We're going to be doing it all again tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.